All right, let's put our hands together and welcome him.
Okay, good morning. Can I have a show of hand those who were not here last night? Okay, thank you. Let me just repeat some of the things that you need to hear. Okay, before that, would you like me to speak like an Asian or like a British? No, because I don't want to. We tend to speak pretty fast, you know, Chinese. every word in the Chinese language is only monosyllables. So we're kind of a fast speaker. Now, yeah, British. British kind of a bit slow, okay. Okay. Huh? Excuse me. Okay. You know, this morning, and those of you who were here last night, you know, whatever you received from God yesterday, last night, was for last night. That means it's over. It's gone. Okay? That means you need to have a fresh appetite for more. You know, a lot of people, sometimes when they receive something from God, they think, okay, you know, I got something, and they're contented with it. And after that, they kind of like switch off. They say, oh, I have received something already. I don't need to receive any more. Yet God is always giving us fresh revelation. God is always constantly speaking to us. You know, sometimes we do not know how to receive. We think that God is a miser. You know, God will give us crumbs. But I'll tell you one thing. God is a God that will give you a loaf. He doesn't give you crumbs. Okay? But it's we who has been like traditionally been taught that, oh, that much only God will give you. I want to tell you one thing. God will never cease to amaze you. You know, it's up to your hunger level, to the degree of your hunger, that God will pour out more to you, that God will speak to you. Remember, God is a father to you. You understand? He doesn't give you crumbs. He gives you the whole loaf. Okay? So whatever you received thus far yesterday, that was for yesterday. Today, let's have new expectation. You know, let's come with hunger and say, God, what have you got some more for me? I'm here. Now, the one thing the Lord laid in my heart is this, that, you know, because we minister around the world, and we see how churches have been done, Christianity being lived. You know, one more thing we find that, because we are very much influenced by the Western civilization, you know, the Americans, the Europeans, all these things. So our thinking is very Greek in nature. That means to say that we think in terms of compartments, right? We learn things in terms of compartments. So it's like whatever we do, whatever we think, it's always come in terms of compartmentalization. Let me explain. Now we have what we call specialties. People specialize in worship. People specialize in prayer. You know, people specialize in teaching. But it's like, yeah, you specialize only one area. And other things you don't have to do. Okay? Now, this is just a minor example. But what I want to tell you one thing is that the ways of God is not like that. We need to learn things as a whole. Okay? We need to learn things as a whole. That means to say that you cannot say, oh, I only specialize in worship. Prayer, I don't do. No, we get things like that. Sorry, guys, those of you in the worship thing, not meant anything. But just give an example, you know, because this is a very obvious thing. Now, what I'm going to say is that there are some people who say, oh, I'm into prayer and I don't do anything else. You know what I mean? Now, same thing like when we learn about praying or worship, we cannot learn about this subject or this topic as a compartment by itself. It doesn't work. I will tell you, if you learn things by compartment, it will mess up your life. Because whatever you learn, whatever you do, it has to do with your identity. You cannot disconnect who you are from what you are doing. You got it? You see, this is the thing that we have today. It's like a lot of people in a lot of confusion. I see, of course, when you do certain things, it don't work out because you forget who you are. You disconnect what you are doing from your identity. Now, this is, you see, when we do things out apart from identity, things don't quite work out. You understand? It has to do with, we've got to know who we are first. And then what we do has to connect with it. You cannot separate who you are from what you are doing. Because the basis of what you are doing comes from who you are. That's your foundation. That's very important. Now, even as we speak about hearing the voice of God for yourself, it's not extra curriculum. You understand what I'm saying? It's not something that's optional. It has to do with who you are. It has to do with who God is to you. You have to see all this connection. Then, when you learn to hear the voice of God, that becomes meaningful. Otherwise, it's just something that you do. If I hear the voice of God, it's good. If I don't hear the voice of God, never mind. I move on with life. You understand? So that means hearing the voice of God will become optional. It's not something that's part of your life consistently. Okay? So you got to come back to, we always come back to the root. Root focus whereby who are we? And whatever we are doing has to relate to that. Otherwise, it's just something extra that you are doing. And a lot of times you will find you encounter frustration. You see, you try to be passionate about something apart from who you are. It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard because you have to, if you do that, you only rely on momentum. You see, you got to look at your destiny. Who are you? What is your destiny as a person? What is your destiny in this world? So whatever you do out of that has very clear purpose. It's not a hit and run. It's not something you do accidentally. It's not something you do occasionally. But it is something that is part and parcel of who you are in this life. Okay? So we got to get back our thinking. You know, whatever we do, we got to have a paradigm shift. We got to adjust. We got to align back our thoughts and thinking and our behavior to know who we are. That is our foundation. Why do you speak English? Why do you speak English? Why not speak Japanese? That's good. He's the only one. He's awake this morning. That's the thing. Because you're not Japanese. That's right. Why are we doing what we are doing? Is it because we all got nothing better to do? Or is it because that's who we are? Right? You see, we need to do something is because of who we are, not because we got nothing better to do. I know some of you are itching to go to the beach and do some fishing. It's for being here, right? But we are here this morning because we have a desire to learn. You know, we want a desire to be better. Now, I want to tell you one thing. If we get our foundation right, we will take off. We will just shoot off. You know, a lot of people struggle in their life is because their foundation are squeaky. They don't have a proper foundation. And some, the foundation are unstable. You see, understanding your foundation is very important as a Christian. Because it's from that foundation you will take off. You know, otherwise, you'll find like hearing the voice of God, it becomes an activity. To a lot of people, it's just an extra activity. If I learn it, I learn it. If I don't learn it, it's okay. But I want to tell you one thing. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay not to hear the voice of God. It's definitely not okay. Because you know why? That is your inheritance. Hearing the voice of God for yourself is your birthright. You are born into it. It's a privilege that's given to you. It's not something optional. It's not something that God gives to the elite. To people with all the BA, MA, you know, PhD, DD, CD, BCD. I don't know what else D have you got there back. It's not something that you can learn in Bible school. You understand? Even if a Bible school were to teach you on hearing the voice of God, it's only to some extent. Because it's something that you have to practice. And really, the English word says, practice makes perfect. You know? Now, put it this way. None of you are an exception whereby God doesn't speak to you. God will speak to every one of us without exception. But maybe there are certain blockages or maybe there's certain ignorance that we don't have, that we have in our lives that hinders us from hearing His voice clearly. Okay. Now, before I go further to the foundation thing, let me just lay this quickly as I remember them. Is that God does not speak to all of us the same way. Okay? It's not the same. The way she hears God, the way I hear God is different. All right? God a lot of times speaks according to your personality. It's different. She will receive a lot of words. I see a lot of pictures. Okay? There are basically two streams. There are two prophetic streams. She is what we call the spokesman. Words will come up faster than she can think. And I tend to get pictures. I'm a seer type. I see pictures. And from the pictures, I will explain what is it. Okay? So God will speak to you differently. Now, don't stereotype God like He speaks to you thunder and lightning. That's very rare. Okay? So, you know, when you want to learn about hearing the voice of God, you know, be open. Because it's an adventure in itself. You know, walking with God is an adventure in itself. You know, it's like your adventure with God and my adventure with God is never the same. Maybe we have some commonality, but a lot of times it's different. Because why? All of us are in different circumstances. We are in different situations. So it's like when God speaks to us, it's also according to our circumstances and situation. Alright? Now, always know one thing. When God loves us, He will show us a lot of tenderness, a lot of gentleness. So God don't need to shout at you. Anyway, you're not deaf, right? And if you shout at somebody, it's not polite. But God always treats us as children. So when God speaks, He speaks very gently, very tender. That's what the Bible says, that God will speak to the inner voice. It's like a whisper. But when God whispers, you will know that is His voice. Okay? Now let's go to the foundation. Let's have a look. Now, we'll look at three scriptures first, because some of you are young Christian here, so we will go through that's those scriptures, okay? The first one is found in John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, something all of us very familiar. John, chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay? The word that we want to see focus this morning is the word everlasting life. Now let's go to John 17. John 17, verse 3. John 17 verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You sent." Now, so those who believe in Jesus, according to John, Gospel of John 3:16, is that He will give you eternal life. And the meaning of eternal life is that you get to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom You sent. Now, eternal life is just not living a life that has no purpose. You know what I mean? You're just wandering. You are aimless. No. Eternal life is about knowing God. Now, the knowing God, of course, the English word is not that clear. Because we have a tendency to think that the word know is speaks by here. Right? But the Hebrew word for know, a lot of times has to talk about experientially knowing. That means you know God experientially. It's just that you know your back of hands. It's not a theory. It's something that you experience for yourself. You know? Now, that's what the Bible says. That means that if God says He gives us eternal life, and this eternal life is about knowing Him, well, how do you know a person anyway? How do you know a person? Now, one of the obvious things is communication, isn't it? Right? Communication is a very obvious thing. So, the only way to know God is communication. The other thing is to experience His presence. So, if you want to get to know somebody, communication is very important. Whether you are an able person or whether you are handicapped, whereby you are deaf and dumb, You do sign language. You're still communicating. Now, obviously God can speak and He will speak. So you get to know God for yourself. And that is your inheritance, right? Each one of you, you have all eternal life, individually. And the eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Now, somehow, that picture don't seem complete. So somebody once asked me, where's the Holy Spirit? Why isn't He in the equation? Why is only God the Father, God the Son, and where is He? He's there in the equation. Bible says He is the one that's going to reveal God the Father, God the Son to us. He's in there, the picture. When you find the Son, you find the Father. And when you find the Father, you find the Holy Spirit. They're always together. You know, they are inseparable. Okay? So it's the Holy Spirit's function, His job, to reveal the Father and the Son to us. Because God the Father, God the Son is where? Bible says they are in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here, in this world. And His job to reveal the Father and Son to us. So we experience the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is your inheritance. Now, you got to take hold of this one. Okay? You got to take hold of this one because that is your inheritance. You see, we don't experience God by chance. We don't experience God by accident. Whatever God is doing in our life has a purpose. And we need to purposefully experience Him. Now, a lot of people, they think that believing God is fun. I will tell you one thing. Believing God is a very deadly thing. The Bible says it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You understand? So when people tell you Christian life is fun, 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 I say no, that's the wrong concept. God gave us grace according to Titus chapter 2 verse 11 so that we can live a sober, righteous and godly life. The word fun is not found in there. You know what I mean? You see, we can have fun, but Christian life is a very sobering life. You know? But it's not a bad life. You know? It's a great life. In fact, I'm glad that God saved me. If I've never been a Christian, I don't know what I'll be. You know? So, Christian life is about this. It's about knowing God. Knowing God. Even we are here, we're not learning about something extra. You know, we're learning about how to get close to God, how to hear God, you know, to know about our inheritance as a child of God. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 12. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Excuse me. It says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Some version says He gave the authority to become sons of God. Now, for those of you who are still new to Christianity, you're not familiar why anybody that believed Jesus, received Jesus, that God gave them the power and authority to become sons of God. Now, in a Hebrew setting, that's Jesus' time, in their culture, their tradition is that only sons receive inheritance. Girls got nothing. Because just like every culture everywhere, girls, we have a saying in Chinese, the girls tend to marry out. Okay? They will leave the family. They will follow the family of their husband. So naturally, the inheritance doesn't go out. It stays within the tribe. Okay? So it's like only sons has inheritance. So when you become born again, you, of course, your gender doesn't change. But it is your inheritance that you receive, equal share with any guys. So you're all sons. You understand? That's your position. Gender-wise, you still remain who you are. But positionally-wise, you have become sons. You receive inheritance as sons. Equal. Okay? So that's the unique things of that. God is not confused, okay? Just had to understand, you know, the tradition of those days is that only sons receive an inheritance. So now that you are sons, you have inheritance. Okay? And your inheritance is what? You are sons of God. Now, you are born again into God's family. Now, we need to see ourselves as family of God. Okay? Christian, like I mentioned yesterday, is how the non-Christian will view you. To distinguish between you and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims. That's all it serves. to differentiate between different religion, different adherents of different faith. But God sees you as sons. You see, the main thing about our life as Christians is that we got to see from God's perspective. We got to see from God's view, not our own view, not what people's view. You understand? You see, perspective is very important because it changes the way you think. It changes the way you behave. This is something you have to really grasp. You know, say, God, give me that revelation. Sometimes we just know, okay, it's a written fact. It's a truth. But it doesn't kick you. Isn't it? It doesn't kick in yet. It doesn't become a strong revelation. It didn't get hold of you yet. So sometimes you may have to take time to meditate on who you are before God. You see, we live our lives before God, right? So you got to know who you are before God in order to live before God. If you don't, then you have an identity crisis. You know, a lot of Christians, they have identity crisis. You know, they try to find their identity in the church, in the things that they do, in the ministry that they do. I say, you're getting it all backward. You should serve out of your identity. You should serve out of who you are, not trying to find to ministry who you are. I say, if you know who you are, it will settle your identity issue, and then it will settle the biggest problem that we have in this world, insecurity. You know why people feel insecure? Because they don't know who they are. You know, if you know who you are and you see the amount of things, amount of blessing that God has given you, in your insecurity shouldn't be there. It should be a subtle thing. But because you do not know who you are, you don't know what God has given you, your insecurity arose. You know, Jesus came to remove our insecurity. Do you know that? You know, all the blessing that you can find in the Bible is dealing with every area of insecurity that's in there in our lives. You know, God knows that we brought up in this world. You see, all of us, okay, to some degree, it's like, not every one of us, we have perfect parents. Do we all have perfect parents? No. Some of us come from very... yeah. Nope. Some of our parents, they're good parents, okay? Some of our parents don't know how to be parents. Isn't it? To be parents is a very tough thing, okay? Now, you will find that some of us, we have parents, but we are parents who are invisible. They're part of a fixtures in the house. Have you got... I mean, some of you, maybe you have a father, like they say, good morning, Dad. Mm. Then, hi, Dad, I'm home, Dad. Mm. That's all like, okay, he's monosyllabus type, you know? You know, some of us, we grow from a broken family, isn't it? You know, some of us come from dysfunctional family. And some of us, we come from war-torn families. You know, we have World War III constantly in the house. And then we've got UFO flying. We got rolling pin plates, whatever. You know, there's light, they can fly around. Basically, I grew up in that kind of environment, I know. Now, you will find that, you know, to some degree, we have what we call fatherlessness. You know, some fathers are very detached. You know, they are like tyrants, you know. They are very... Then when they communicate, it's always barking orders. You do this, you do that. That's about all. It's demand, but it's never affirmation. You know, some of us, we grow up in a home whereby our parents don't nurture us. But they specialize in neglecting us. Isn't it? Isn't it true? Yeah, we grow neglected. Now, I will tell you one thing. We all go through some degrees of fatherlessness in our lives. And some of us, we have what we call, we inherited an orphan spirit. That means our parents, our father, our old earthly father, making an orphan. You may be born in a family that has parents, complete set, but yet your parents never take care of you. They neglected you. So as a result, you feel like you're an orphan in a home. That whether you have parents or not, it makes no difference. There's no sense of attachment. You know, you try, but you just cannot feel. Because they have not reached out to you. They have not nurtured the emotional part of you. It's left dry, empty. So you grow up as a fatherless person. Now, I want to tell you one thing. Fatherlessness, the effect of our childhood has an impact on our future and our presence. Now, some of you, you may have difficulties relating to God as Father. Because why? Because of the fatherlessness that you experience. You know, what happened when you go through, become an orphan, have an orphan, a spiritual orphan, we call it, is that your heart is shut. Emotionally, you cannot relate to somebody because you don't know how to. Your parents never relate to you emotionally. And you find that, I don't know how to relate to people emotionally. It's just like, you just can't feel. You try to feel compassionate. You just can't because you don't know what is it. Because your parents have never shown it to you. Emotionally, you have a shutdown. You know, it's like inside your heart, you build walls. You can't feel for people. Even as much as genuinely, sincerely you try, you just can't. Now, fatherlessness has tremendous impact on our lives. It doesn't make us better, it makes us worse. You find that when you grow up in a fatherless environment, you have to learn to be your own father. Why not? I mean, since your father's neglected you, he didn't take care of you, you have to learn to father yourself. You became your own father. You have to learn how to protect yourself. You have to learn how to care for yourself. You learn how to provide for yourself. So you grow up basically with insecurity, right? You're insecure because whenever you go through problems, there's nobody to turn to. Your father is not helpful. Your mother is not helpful. So who do you turn to? So you learn to father yourself. So you learn to take care of yourself. You grow up, become a self-made man. You're a survivor. Basically, if you grew up in a fatherless environment, you are a survivor. You survive a terrible childhood. You become an independent person. At the same time, you grew up to become a person who is very stubborn. Because you become your own father, you set the boundary for yourself. Isn't it? So you are a lawless. At the same time, you are a law unto yourself. That is why Bible says, when we are born again into God's family, God became our father. Fair and square for everybody. You know, that's one thing good about God is that He didn't save us into a religion. He saved us into His family to become our Heavenly Father, and He will teach us what it means to be loved and what it means to love. Now, that thing we don't learn from a broken family, do you? All you learn is pain. You know what is pain? You're very well acquainted with pain. You know that. You're very well acquainted with turmoil, with strife, with jealousy, envy, anger, wrath, bitterness, whatever you can name it. But when you come into God's family, you will learn what it means to be loved. You will know what it means to love people. That's the difference. Now, when you come into God's family, you got to allow God to touch you, to know. Sometimes God doesn't speak to you to word. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian, I did a lot of crying. And every time God, friends come and touch me, I would be like crying a lot. And sometimes I wonder why. Everybody is broke out in tongues. I remember that time we had an Australian preacher. His name is Charles Wilson. He came from Alice Springs. We're doing a revival meeting back in the early 80s. And everybody is going out for baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody broke out in tongues. And I was the odd one. I was crying, thinking like, what is wrong with me? It was very loud. But I realized that, hey, wait a minute. I was talking to myself. Hey, wait a minute. That wasn't me. I can still talk to me, but there's a cry that came from the depth of my spirit. Now, I want to say this thing is here. When you come from a broken family, or you come from a dysfunctional family, or you come from a fatherless background, whether you are born without a father, or you have a father that doesn't function as a father, you will find that you became your own father. And what God wants to do is that God wants to take away that responsibility that you have towards yourself. I will tell you one thing. The biblical word, no, it's not written there. You are now, once you're born into God's family, you are now His dependent. You got it? You are now His dependent. I mean, God will shoulder that responsibility of being a father to you. He wants to be your father. Will you allow Him? You know, a lot of times, when we carry the shoulder of fathering ourselves, it's very heavy, right? Isn't it? We have the insecurity because we do not know what will come next. We live in uncertainty. So because of that, we tend to what we learn, what we call, we have a very strong sense of self-preservation. Now, self-protection is a different thing. Self-preservation is that I don't trust anybody. And nobody come close to me. Stay far. I can be friendly, but I don't want you to be my friend. And I don't want to be friend with you. No, people who are fatherless have difficulties to have friends because they have an issue with trust. They have an issue with insecurity. They don't know who to trust because the parents never taught them. All they have is survival mode, you know. If I'm a survival mode, everybody's an enemy. I will learn to take care of myself, fend for myself first. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. All these things that I'm describing affects relationship with God the Father. Until the moment you say, Father, I give this to you. I give the right to be the father in my life to you. I will not be my own father anymore. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusts in God. Cursed is the man that trusts in men. Will you give up that right to be your own father? Will you give that right to God the Father and let Him be your Heavenly Father? For He wants to care for you all the days of your life on this world until the day He brings you back to Himself. He wants to be your father. Will you allow Him? You see, even though you may be born again into God's family, but I want to tell you one thing. I've seen this over and over again. People still live as fatherless. You see, until the day, the moment you release that to God, you are still fatherless. You are still your own father. You have not given God the right to be your father, even though it was already given to you. But does that mean that you have entered into that sonship that God has given you? Will you give up the right to be your own father and let God the Father become your father instead? You see, unless we give Him the rightful place in our lives, we'll still experience dysfunctionality in our walk with God because we still have issue with trust. You know, you see, the issue now is not the issue of belief. Yes, we all believe God. That's why we are here today. But the issue in our lives always is an issue of trust. You know, trusting God. Trust is a subsequent consequence of your walk with God. Faith is not an issue. We believe God. But trust is an issue. But when you have an orphan spirit, trust is always a problem for you. Because you have become a self-made man. You have survived. But now you find that as a Christian, as a child of God, you have to give up that right. To protect yourself, to preserve yourself, to provide for yourself. Because now you have a father who will take care of those things. But it's an adventure. Well, it's a trust. This is where now that we are a Christian, now that we're a child of God, we are now God's dependent. We are now, our life is fully dependent on Him. No longer you dependent on yourself anymore. It's now learning to depend on God for the rest of your life, for every area of your life. Now, I don't want you to feel embarrassed, okay, if you are struggling with this thing. But if that speaks about you, you know, because all of us, we all grew up with that sense of insecurity because of the fatherlessness that we go through. Because that affects the way we hear from God. That affects our relationship with God. And that also affects our relationship with people. You know, then we have issue on loving people. You know, people who have fatherlessness and orphan spirit, you have an issue how to love people. You will tend to view people like this. If they do good to you, they're good. If they do bad to me, they're bad. That's how you see. That's how you learn to discern. That's how you learn to judge. These are basic instinct. They're not discernment at all. Come, let us stand. You all don't have to. Nobody needs to come up for prayer. Okay, just stand where you are. But if you feel that coming out for prayer makes you feel better, by all means, okay, right? Every eyes closed. Let's look to the Lord. You know, this morning, just open your heart to God. Nobody needs to lay hands on you to pray for you. The Holy Spirit is here. He knows your background. He knows what you have been through. He knows what happened to you, whether it's good or bad, whatever trauma that you have suffered. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit set you free from the fatherlessness. Let the Holy Spirit set you free from the orphan spirit. And for each one of you, you know, just tell the Lord, Father, I just release the right to be the father in my life to you. I no longer wish to be my own father. Let you be the father in my life. This is your moment with God. Just talk to Him in your heart. He's here. Thank you, Father. Touch your children, Father. Take them deep into you. Lord, open up, shine your light. Open up the eyes of the understanding. Open up, oh God. Open their hearts towards you. Touch them deep. Find your release today. Find your healing today. Find your freedom and liberty today. Come into the sonship that God has for you. Give up your right to be your own father. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, God, just go deep. Just open your heart to Jesus. Just open your heart to Jesus. That's all. That's all you need to do. And God the Father will do the rest. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of God is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, and to heal the brokenhearted, and to bind up their wounds. That's what God will do. God will heal you of all the emotional wounds that you suffered since the day you are born. Some of it even maybe before you are born. Let God heal you. Let God go deep inside of you, into your heart, and heal you of every form of brokenness. Every form of brokenness. Every form of brokenness be healed. Set your people free. Set your children free, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Just come. I said, just open your heart. Just open your heart wide. Just focus on Him. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to struggle. He knows your history. Past, present. Let Him do His wonderful work. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just touch your people. Thank you, Father. Your visitation. Your visitation. Your visitation. Your visitation. Your visitation. Thank you, Lord. Father, I stand on your behalf to represent everybody present here. Not only everybody here, but also God, their families. Father, we repent, oh God, for being our own Father. And Father, this day, I declare and I confess and I repent, oh God, for being our own Father. Father, we give that right to you. We surrender that right to be our own Father to you right now. God, we give it up. We renounce it. We repent of it. And we release it to you right now. Lord, together with that right, we release, oh God, every burden, every anxiety, every fears, God, every concern that we have lived with it all these years. Lord, we just release it all to you. The responsibility of taking care of ourselves. Lord, we renounce, oh God, that self-preservation. We release it to you, Father, right now. And we take hold in exchange. We take hold of the sonship that you've given us. And we receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare this day that we are your sons. And we declare this day, Father,
that you are our Father and we are your dependent. We are dependent on you for everything in this life. You are our Father. You will protect us. You will provide us. God, you will preserve us in every area of our lives. We give you the permission to be our Father in this life and in the next life. Thank you, you are our Father. Come, sit on the throne of our lives. Come into our hearts, Father, and take your rightful place and be our Father. We just want to thank you. We just want to praise you that you're such a good God. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this honor and joy. Father, I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, let it be an exchange. An exchange. An exchange. An exchange. Father, their soul has been weary all these years, leaving us fatherless and orphans. Take away that burden. Take away that burden. That burden belongs to you. That burden belongs to you now. Thank you, Father. And Father, we will enter into that rest. The rest that is our inheritance as a child of God. We enter into that rest. And I ask the Father that you fill each one of them with your peace and your joy. And I speak that rest to come upon them in their soul. Yes, Lord. Give them more than what I'm praying. Give them more than what they are believing you for. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just dig them deep, even right now. Dig them, each one of them deep, oh Father, into your presence. Cause them to begin to hear your voice. Lord, for those who are not able to sense you, not able to feel your presence, I declare this day, God, you'll bring them in into your presence. Let them experience not only your presence, but your power and your glory. Fill them, Jesus. Fill them, Lord. Fill them, God, to overflow. So much more. So much more. Take them so deep. Father, begin to release your love upon them, O God. There's so many of us here, God, that has never encountered that love. Lord, even if they're encountered in time past, Father, would you not release a fresh measure of your love upon them? Pour out your love upon each one of them this morning. Just fill them. Fill them with yourself. Lord, overwhelm them, O God, with your presence. Overwhelm them, O God, with your love. Yes, Lord. Release that love, O God, through your Holy Spirit into their hearts. Give them measure upon measure upon measure. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you know the song, With All I Am?
Trust in you. Yes, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, reason that I see. It all I am. Into your hands I commit again. With all I am,
that you seal us. Seal us, oh God, with you, oh God, today. That we will be so secure even in you. For you have planted us in you, oh God. You and you alone. God, that truly, oh God, with all that we are, Jesus, with all that we are in you, oh God, that we are secure. We are so secure in you. Father, we declare even today there is depths and depths and depths of healing. There is depths and depths of your healing, oh God, going all the way into our background, going all the way into our childhood roots, going all the way, oh God. And we forbid the enemy to pluck us out of security into insecurity. We forbid the enemy to play tricks on our mind. And we declare this day that we are walking in your freedom. This day, oh God, even as we are your children, we are so secure in you. We are so secure in you. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of yours. Oh, that you are our Father. And we are your sons and we are your daughters. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for calling us son. Thank you, oh God, for calling us daughter. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your faithful. You are faithful, oh God. Because you're so faithful and you're our Father, we are secure. We are so secure in you, oh God. Father, this day, let it be a new position, a spiritual realization of that positioning in you, oh God. Not only knowing in our mind, but a realization, a knowing in our hearts today. Plant, oh God, that security so deep within us. We bless your name right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I keep on seeing this picture of someone that was like covering, you know, you're just so afraid that the very mention of the word father or your dad is coming home, that was the fear. And I believe God is going to set you free from this fear. That picture was so clear, that as if the footstep, hearing the footstep of your father coming back into the house, or hearing the word father coming home, there is such a fear that came upon you. And today the Lord wants to set you free. And if you are that person, you just surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, because I have made you my heavenly father, I'm no longer to be bound by this fear. And this fear is also creep into you, that you are so fearful yourself, that whether you can be a mother or a father, that you feel that sometimes you may feel. But the Lord is setting you free from this fear in the name of Jesus.
All right, we're going to take 10 minutes short break.